Cause of Death, the podcast with crime scene cleaner Marcel Engel.
It will happen every now and then in my podcast.
Cause of Death.
That we dive very deeply into what is happening. I will talk about it openly. By that I mean that liquids such as blood as an element will be the smallest problem.
The podcast with crime scene cleaner Marcel Engel.
I'm looking forward of taking you on a mind trip into my world as a crime scene cleaner. Cause of Death is one of the successful true crime scene podcasts in Germany. And my experience can be listened to here now.
Cause of Death.
Cause of Death. When the barrel overflows. From words to life-threatening attack. A family dispute escalates. Marcel is called in to clean up the bloody testimonies when something unexpected happens. Cause of Death. The podcast with crime scene cleaner Marcel Engel. My name is Marcel Engel, and I work as a crime scene cleaner. It will happen every now and then in my podcast that we dive very deeply into what is happening. I will talk about it openly. By that, I mean that liquids, such as blood as an element, will be the smallest problem. I am looking forward to taking you on a mind trip into my world as a crime scene cleaner. Cause of Death is one of the successful true crime scene podcasts in Germany, and my experiences can be listened to here now. Cause of Death, the podcast with Marcel Engel. Hi, it's nice that you're here and that we can now experience together what I consider to be a very topical crime scene cleanse. When the last drop brings the barrel to overflow, the bomb bursts. I think we all know that personally. By that, I mean a final statement from someone or a final reaction that causes us to explode. I had an emergency call recently. Emergency call and dispatch, please move in immediately. We have a strong blood contamination in a public space. The client was an authority that wanted us to remove blood from the sidewalk. I drove to the site and there was a contact person who immediately described the overall situation to me. He told me that we had a family dispute here. The father with two children, a daughter and a son who no longer lived in the household, and the wife, his new wife, also with a son, so his stepson. They lived together in a four-bedroom apartment in Frankfurt. And on this day, they had a small difference of opinion. So it was described to me, at least by the mother, to a quarrel, namely between her and her bodily son. The dispute escalated to such an extent that the father, her new husband, the boy's stepfather, felt it necessary to intervene. That is, to influence the boy a little bit and perhaps also teach him about respect and how to talk to his parents. The whole thing escalated and the son threw an object at the father's head in his room. The father then went berserk and beat up the son. The son in turn fled from the apartment in the house, and on the same floor of the house, there was another apartment next door. That was also at the same time not only the neighbor, but a friend of this boy. And they always played together. They played gaming games and so on. The boy himself, he's 17 years old. So the son sought shelter over there with his friend. The father was probably angry at himself for using violence. And the mother was also angry that it had come to this escalation in the first place. At least that's what she told me afterwards. And the father wanted to apologize and have a talk. At this apartment entrance door at the neighbor's, it then came to the next escalation. The neighbor was standing in the door, which was only open a little bit. And the stepson was standing behind it. They must have insulted each other loudly in the hallway. And then it came to this. And I have to say that now, I find that extremely hard and extremely tragic that the son freaked out so badly and walked into the kitchen and came back with a huge 30-centimeter-long kitchen knife. And the father, in his anger, probably didn't even notice what the son was about to do. And the neighbor, a young 22-year-old man, put himself in front of his friend to protect him so that the father could no longer attack his son. And then it happened. The son jumped out of the door from behind over his shoulder and stabbed the father in the neck, causing a life-threatening injury. The knife itself was stuck in the neck, but he was still able to flee under shock down one floor into the courtyard. There, he collapsed, and then he heard that the son in his madness was running after him and could not be stopped by his friend, and maybe actually wanting to kill him. The father then fled a few meters further to the street. He then screamed there for help, and the mother screamed out of the window, and it was a very, very terrible overall situation. The neighbors were looking out of the window. A neighbor from the neighboring house also came to his aid. In the meantime, an ambulance had been called, and it all happened near a hospital. The infrastructure in big cities often allows for several hospitals. The crime scene itself was about 1 kilometer away from the nearest hospital. There was a huge pool of blood on the sidewalk, and that was the actual reason why we were called. The landlord, the house owner lived in the same house, was a pensioner who also witnessed everything live. He had first of all not understood the situation and visualized it. He had lived on the lowest floor, and while I cleaned there on site on the sidewalk, he then asked me if we can also clean on the second floor. He had just looked at it and there was also blood. The house had an old staircase with wooden steps and a squiggly metal railing with wooden handrail, and there was an extreme amount of blood on this wooden floor in the mezzanine, on this second floor. So he must have been really badly injured in the carotid artery. The blood was probably spurting out once the son attacked him. So that was on the next floor. There was a lot of blood spattered on the wall itself. On the neighbor's doorbell sign, there was blood, and on the floor itself, there was also a large pool. And then he fled downstairs through the stairwell. Of course, you could see the traces of blood everywhere. It was very clear that he had grabbed his neck, because you could see his fingerprints and his handprints full of blood on the handrail. He must have really moved his hand over hand down there. I mean, I've never had a knife in my throat, thank God, but I can only imagine it terribly, especially to have this foreign object stuck in your throat. But in any case, he has probably closed the wound, but somehow also had circulation problems, which is undoubtedly normal with life-threatening injuries. That's probably how it played out. We then cleaned the sidewalk downstairs. There was once again the problem of the onlookers. In the meantime, this has become a real problem for us. We all know this from the media, and I can only say again and again, yes, the unknown and what probably happened there makes people curious, of course. The question is always, to what extent do you allow this yourself? Because often rescue services or companies like us, who then clean up the incident area, are hindered in their work. So I think that's a very big issue. But that's not supposed to be the topic of this podcast. The cleaning itself took about 3 hours, and as I finished down on the sidewalk, I went up to the house. I cleaned everything off there, and as I was finishing up the paperwork with the owner, I listened to the family's story again. The boy always went to the neighbor, and they played computer games into the night and probably very loud. And then the owner has complained to me a bit, but also told me that it was actually a very nice family. There can always be disputes. There are always disagreements, and everyone has their own way of communicating that. So, of course, there can be arguments. That has to happen. It's quite normal in any relationship. Whether in a patchwork family or in any other, it's normal. But he himself, as the owner and as the landlord, could not explain it that way. When we were talking about the topic, the next call came in, and the next call was again an emergency call. Please come to Hospital XY. We have blood contamination here in the public space. So I said, well, there's action today. What is going on here today? Then I drove to the site, and when I arrived, I thought to myself, I know that woman at the entrance. In the meantime, the police were there. There were a few people outside the hospital from the emergency room. They were also standing outside. You could recognize them by their clothes. There was a lot of blood on the asphalt road in front of the emergency room. I thought, what happened here now? Instinctively, of course, I first went to the police. They were not clients, but nevertheless, I asked what was happening. After I then outed myself as the crime scene cleaner, they sent me to a lady. So that was the mother of the stepson. By the way, the stepson fled after the crime. That is, he ran away and was probably wanted. Arrest warrant? No idea. Something like that. He was wanted. I then asked the woman, "Tell me, what happened here now?" "The hospital had contacted me to clean something. And yes, then she told me, 'Yes, you know, Mr. Engel, the tragedy has really continued. My husband is lying on the operating table with serious injuries. And now the natural son of the father, who had no longer lived in the household, came and wanted to assist his father on the spot in this difficult hour. Then probably as he came on the spot, talked to the mother, and then said, so he swears, revenge. And then the girlfriend and the friend of the fugitive, who were also on the spot, commented on it. And then one word led to another, and then the maniacs had a knife fight on the spot. The boy and the biological son of the seriously injured man. And then within a matter of hours, I was wrapped up in two crime scenes. And of course, that's extremely crude. I mean, we all know stories like that maybe from the newspaper at one time or another. These stories are also material for television and cinema from time to time. But when you experience it live, and you're the one who cleans it up and puts it away, then it has a completely different quality. By quality, I mean how it becomes anchored in the mind, and how the whole thing then presents itself to me in this extremely difficult life situation. And at that point, I said to myself, man, this is a crazy time. We are all extremely challenged, and especially the issue of domestic violence is unfortunately increasing in the course of this difficult life situation for all of us. And I wouldn't endorse something like that in any form at all, but it explains a bit how we are, us humans. And I think it's also about talking to each other and listening to the other person, and thereby developing understanding for the other person, especially in this time of the corona pandemic, where we have to live with many restrictions. It is important to listen to us well and intensively when we have conversations to avoid such escalations. Yes, that's it. With a very short but crisp story. Less crime scene cleaning, but more crime scene of life. Many, many thanks that you are here today. If you liked my episode, then happily subscribe to my channel. You can also find me on Instagram and Facebook under Marcel Engel. We also have a YouTube channel, Marcel Engel, the Crime Scene Cleaner. Have some great formats there, and it would make me very happy if we both go through more stories together. Until then, ciao, yours Marcel. That's it for the new episode of Cause of Death, the podcast with Marcel Engel, head of his own special cleanup unit and crime scene cleaner at more than 12,000 locations around the world. What can Marcel clean up for you? Anytime around the world. Get in touch or just click through to MarcelEngel.com. Empathic, profound, honest. Cause of Death is guaranteed to leave you cold. Be there. I am looking forward to it. Subscribe to the season and never be late for an episode.
The podcast with crime scene cleaner Marcel Engel. Cause of Death.